said, I just wish they would stay young. And I thought about that this week. And it's interesting that in our life, every part of our life, there are seasons. There are seasons. We're experiencing a season right now where it's a little bit of cool weather. For South Georgia, this is cold. So we're experiencing a different season right now. Then in a few short weeks, we'll experience another season. We'll have the green pollen all over the cars. There'll be some buds out of the shrubbery and the flowers and all that blooming and the beauty of that. There are seasons in every part of our life. And we need to, what Crystal and I have tried to learn to do over the years is to embrace the seasons. Embrace the seasons because in each season, God is teaching us something. As our children are, you know, babies and they're small and they grow up, there are different seasons. We know little Romy, beautiful little Romy, it was like yesterday when she was born. And the beauty of a baby, just a newborn baby, how beautiful and perfect. And as she grows up, there's another season. We embrace that season. As she gets a little older and we're experiencing grandchildren, matter of fact, next Saturday, our second to the oldest, Zelda, will be six next Saturday. And so she's in a different season now than what she was 5 years ago. But we need to embrace that, and we need to move forward in the different seasons of life. But there's a principle, I believe, in God's Word in holding fast. Holding fast, as we just read, the confession of our hope without wavering. What God has promised, He will deliver. Every single word in His Word that He's given to us is a promise. It's never failed, and it will never fail. God's Word holds true. There's a story of a man in the Word of God that I want us to look at. And the story is told in John chapter 5 of a man that had been unable to move, unable to walk for a long time. Matter of fact, the Bible says for 38 years he could not walk. If we start in verse 1 of chapter 5 in John, it says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. I mean, obviously this man couldn't go nowhere else, but he probably felt like there was no other place to go. He had no direction. He was stuck right there. Certain man there 38 years, this infirmity. In verse 6 it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Sometimes Jesus presents questions to us just to find out where we stand, just to find out where our heart is, to find out what is our desire. Now, it seemed like it would have been not a question that we would think to ask about a man that couldn't walk. Jesus asked, do you want to be made well? There's a reason for every single word that Jesus speaks. There's a reason for every single word printed in the Word of God. Every word. Every thee, thou, if, of, every small word, big word, there's a reason for every single word. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? In other words, Jesus was saying, do you want your situation to change? Sometimes people don't want their situation to change. Jesus wanted to know where he was. Not only for his sake, Jesus knew where he was, but not only for his sake for hearing it, but also for the man to hear his own response. Sometimes we have to speak so that we know. Have you ever listened to yourself talk and say, why did I say that? Why did I say that? A lot of times we talk and the Crystal says, she said, I just heard my mama talk when I talked. I just heard my mama say what I said. You ever do that? I said I would never talk like my parents, but here I am talking like my parents. Jesus wanted to test and see where this man's heart was. Some people become satisfied with where they are. After 38 years, this man, he certainly learned how to deal with his infirmity. He learned how to exist. He could have been satisfied in that existence. He could have been satisfied in that state, or maybe he was ready for a change. Maybe he was ready for something to be done, for a situation to change. And this answer that the man gives back to Jesus is based on his past experience. Being at that pool, seeing all the things happen, all the other people blessed. This one, oh, they have it so easy. This one, all they have to do is jump in the water and they're healed. This one, they have everything that they want. You know, can you imagine the thoughts that went through this mind after all this time? So the response of this sick man after 38 years is found in verse 7. It says, the sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. But while I'm coming, I'm on my way down, another steps down in front of me." So he doesn't really answer Jesus' question. All you hear is the past experience of what he's saying. What's the use? Because every time I've tried, as soon as I get up, somebody else steps in front of me. As soon as I try to make things better, something else happens. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Seems like the more I try, the worse it gets. Seems like the more I rest and get ready for things, the worse things get. I take one step forward and three steps backwards. Has anybody ever said that? This maybe is the attitude of this man. This was his answer to Jesus. No man to put me in the pool when the water stirred up. When I have the opportunity, I try to, but somebody else steps in front of me. Nothing has happened in 38 years, so why would it happen now? What do you mean? Do I want things better? So you can hear maybe possibly the hurt, the disappointment, the discouragement, the pain of the past experience. And this answer, though, we know, does not align with God's will for that man. What's God's will for our life? It's to flourish, to be healed, to be saved, to be delivered, to be set free, to live in Him. We know that. We teach that. And so this man's answer did not align with God at all, because even though he may have known who Jesus was, he was disappointed because who am I? Why would you do something for me? Everybody else gets what they want. I've been sick all this time. No one is here in life to help me. Nobody seems to care about me being here. And so there was really no incentive for him to try, because he thought today would be like every other day. He'd be overlooked. But Jesus offers an answer in the very next verse that I want to look at for the next few moments. The next verse says this: Jesus said to him, this was the answer to this man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." That seems like a far-fetched instruction for a man that hasn't walked in 38 years. I believe the Lord is saying something to us today. Many times we want answers, we're looking for answers, but we don't understand that there's a part that we need to do to see the fulfillment of the answer. We sit back and we wait. This man for 38 years. And now when Jesus walks by, the answer is Jesus wants him to do something. The first instruction that Jesus gave to him was rise. Rise. I believe if we were to talk today, if in our own language, we would say, get up. Get up. I know the children growing up, even Jordan, kids with me sometimes today, our 31-year-old daughter, she says, "Dad, we need a little sympathy. When somebody's sick, you don't just say, get up and get better." I said, "Wow, what's wrong with that? Get up, get better, everything's fine." Well, I could see Jesus looking at this man in his crippled state. He said, "Get up, rise. Get up." And so some people looking around may have said, "Well, that's a little inconsiderate. That's a little cold. That's why would he command this man, give the instruction to this man to get up? He obviously sees that he can't do anything about it. If it were an easy task for this man to do, he would have already been standing when Jesus walked up. He was clearly already on the ground. It wasn't going to be an easy task for him to get up. He may have tried in times past to get up, but there was a lot to him getting up. There was a lot to him getting out of that place where he was. And so Jesus' first instruction was, rise, get up. And so here this man, He had a choice, first of all, to either do what Jesus told him to do or to stay in the state. Many times, the Lord gives us a choice. And the longer we sit in that state thinking that we can't move or do something, the more cold and bitter and disappointed and discouraged we get. But you don't understand. It takes a lot for me to get up. It takes a lot for me to extend my faith. I understand. This man also understood that. There were three things I believe that he experienced in this process of getting up. It's work. It wasn't going to be easy for him to get out of that state of lying there on his bed. It was going to take hope. He had to have hope in what Jesus said. There was he knew from what Jesus said there was a plan. Jesus had a plan for him, but he had to have hope in what Jesus was saying, what was about to be delivered, what Jesus was intended to deliver. He had to have hope in Jesus' instruction. And the third thing, he would experience pain. To get up was not going to be painless. It was going to be painful. The bones that maybe hadn't been moved in a long time, or that was going to require the muscles that possibly wasn't even there to help him get up, he was going to have to get up. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether there was someone there to help him up or not. Jesus has simply looked at him and said, rise. That pain could be emotional pain. Emotional pain being that he was going to have to do something that he didn't know that he could do. Physical pain, obviously, because he was going to use bones and muscle that was very, very thin. Not there at all. Forcing movement into his body that wasn't used to being moved. He suffered all these things. The work, the hope, and the pain of getting him up before. He's going to have to face the disappointment of possibly failing again. He didn't know. But Jesus said, rise. That was the first step that Jesus asked him to do. You know what? The first step is usually the hardest. That's usually the hardest because that requires the movement. That requires the effort. That requires the work. That requires some pain. That requires some hope and faith. And the second instruction Jesus gave was, take up your bed. Rise, now take up your bed. Now, I'm sure there wasn't a whole lot to that bed, especially if he'd been using it any amount of time. Can you imagine the condition of that bed? Why would Jesus ask him, not only rise, go through the pain, go through however much time it took him to get up, now take up your bed? In other words, get your stuff together. Take up the pain that represents. Take up the sorrow that represents. Take up the disappointment that represents. Take up all the hurt and all the emotion that went into that, that you see there, that represents, that reminds you of all these 38 years. Take it up. Why not leave it? It's not worth anything. There's no value to it monetarily. There's certainly no emotional value. I'm fine with leaving that there. But Jesus instructed him to rise and take up your bed. Get your stuff. Get it up. Was it that he wanted it to be tidy around the pool for the next one to come in and to sit in that particular corner by that column there? No, I don't think so. There was some significance to what Jesus was asking him to do that was beyond his ability to do it, beyond even his interest to do it. I mean, if it were me, I'm up. What's the next instruction? Can I please leave my stuff there? Can somebody get that junk that I don't need anymore? I'm standing up. Possibly I'm moving away from this pool. Maybe you have a plan for me. Maybe you're inviting me to come live with Miss Edith so she can cook for me. But he had a purpose, Jesus had a purpose in requiring him to not only get up, but now to get your stuff. Get everything that belongs to you that's in that place, get it up. After 38 years. See, Jesus had a purpose in this. Possibly it was him touching, him holding, to see the proof of what Jesus was about to do. The change that was just about to take place, Jesus knew what was going to happen if he was obedient to the instruction. But as this man picked up the stuff, he knew that was going to represent, you know, this is where I was yesterday, but now today I'm holding. Rather than it holding me, I'm holding it. As we had the baptism service last week, the three that we baptized, that's exactly the way I see it. is that once our old man goes down, represents going to the grave as Jesus did and coming up, or Lazarus going to the tomb and coming up, there's a new man that lives through us, our life, and that is the life of Jesus Christ. And so the old, see, Jesus doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste our past. He doesn't waste our hurts. He doesn't waste our disappointments. He doesn't waste our failures. Well, if we could just change that, if we could change our history and make like that never happened and start from here, then I will feel better about it. But Jesus is requiring us to pick up that stuff. Pick up the hurt. Pick up the pain. Pick up the past disappointments. There's a reason why Jesus wanted him to have that in his hands. Could it possibly represent and remind him of what Jesus was about to do? See, sometimes we get busy in life and we get to going and get to moving in life, and many times we forget about what Jesus did 6 months ago, a year ago. Rick, as we were praying this morning, Rick said the same thing. He said, "Lord, thank you for all the little things that sometimes we forget that you do. All the things that we take for granted, that the things that you've done in our life, the miracles that you've brought about in our life, all these things, many times we get so busy, so caught up in the busyness of life that we forget of all the blessings that you've provided for us. It reminds us of where we came from. Usually, what Jesus does in our life, he's preparing us for the next season. Last season was preparation for this season, and this season is preparation for the next season. God has always got a blessing in mind for you. He's always tailor-made some sort of blessing, but he's preparing you for your blessing. I believe Jesus said your stuff, your past, your sorrow, your disappointment will be a reminder of what I'm about to do. Let's never forget. Let's never forget the bed that we used to lie on. Let's never forget the pain of the past so that we know how great and awesome God is. You know, we put so much confidence in man sometimes that when man disappoints us, we feel like the life has dropped out. We think that God is going to use man or use people or use different things in our life to bless us, and when that doesn't happen, we become disappointed because that person, that man, that woman failed us. We put our hope and we put our trust in people many times, or things, rather than in God. Now, God may use men, God may use women, God may use people or things to bless you and to cause you to come past the thing that you're struggling with. But even in that, it's God who provides the miracle. And so I believe that in this moment, this man had to keep his eyes on Jesus. In this moment of picking up his stuff, it's a reminder of where our source comes from, where our life source is, not only for yesterday, not only for today, but also for tomorrow. If God uses man to help us in life, if God uses people or different things to help us in life, to get us past the things that we face, that's great. That's wonderful. But never forget that it came by the hand of God. God will only give us strength to get up, but he'll give us strength to pick it up, our past, and to go forward. And I'm reminded in John 5:8, of the first two words there. The first two words says, Jesus said. Jesus said. The only thing that Jesus did in this moment, in this miracle we're about to see, the only thing we see Jesus doing is he spoke. He said. And so this man could have been expecting Jesus to walk across the pool, come over, and help him up. That would have been the kind of thing to do, right? If I had been there, I'd have scurried over there and, come on, let me help you up. Jesus, there was a reason why. Jesus spoke the word. See, Jesus is speaking the word to us, But it's up to us to take the action. Jesus is speaking the word. What is it that you're praying for in your life? Could it be that we're to act in faith, get up from where we are, and to get our stuff and wait for Jesus to do what he said he would do? Jesus said, he spoke the word. But after he spoke the word, the miracle was hinged on this man's action. Jesus spoke it. He's spoken the word. He's given us the word. He spoke the word. And so much of this word is hinged on our want to do our part. Jesus said, the progress this man was about to experience was based on his response to Jesus' word. There's power in the word. Without the word, our action amounts to nothing. We can act and we can do and we can prove how good we are and we can go through the Ten Commandments and hit each one of those and we can do things. We can do it. But without the word of God, without the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our heart, without it being anointed by God, it's nothing. It's not anything. We've got to have the word of God because that's where the fruit comes from. But he also said that faith without works is dead. So we've got to have works to put with the power of God's word in order to see. There's an intersection between God's word and our action. And at that intersection is where the miracles take place. God's word is still powerful right by itself. It's anointed. And it'll change. The Bible says it'll cut. It'll bring healing. The word of God works. Without it, we're nothing. But we've also got to have action on our part that we believe what the word of God said, that our action intersects with the anointing of God's word, and at that point, a miracle happens. And it's beyond our ability to make it happen. It's not anything that we can do. But it's only by the power of the word of God. The ability comes from Jesus. The action must come from us. Now, the religious crowd would say, Jesus, we're standing back here watching you. We're taking notes. You didn't do this particular thing right. You should have said the word and you should have given the action to do it. Well, there are times when Jesus will send action to help us and people to help us and things and places, as I said a moment ago. But Jesus doesn't do anything based on what the religious crowd thinks he should do. Matter of fact, sometimes he just outright did things like he wanted to do so that their true colors would shine. So Jesus, what I love about Jesus, he went against all tradition. He went against he talked to people that he wasn't supposed to talk to. He was at places he wasn't supposed to be. This is Jesus. And he did miracles on days that he wasn't supposed to do miracles. He helped people on days that he wasn't supposed to help. So Jesus will give us the supernatural strength to do what he's called us to do. He gave the strength to this man. This man didn't have the strength. He didn't have the ability. But he gave the supernatural ability for this man to rise up, to get past his own weakness, and the ability to reach down and to pick up all of his belongings. And the third thing he said, give the instruction to this man, was to walk. First, get up. Second, get your stuff. And third, it's time to walk. To walk. I believe Jesus was saying at this point, it's time to move forward. It's time to get up from where you are and to move forward. Now, there were a few days later that Jesus saw this man in the temple. And Jesus spoke to this man and encouraged him to depart from his sin and to live life for him. And so there was a mentoring state there for this man. But the beginning of this mentoring state, the beginning of his walk with God at that moment with Jesus Christ was to walk, to follow through, to move forward. We won't know the impact of God's healing, of his miracle, until we do what God's called us to do. As we move forward, a moving forward, I believe, is a place that we let all the hindrances fall off of us. No more hindrance, no more change, no more inhibitions, no more fears. All those things is that all of those are things that we allow to hinder us and to keep us from getting up, getting our stuff, and walking. Now, I will say this. I believe that there are many times in our life that we make the mistake of when Jesus says to walk, we think it's to leave our current place and to go somewhere else. That's a mistake. Not every time does Jesus require us to go to a different location. Sometimes he does. We don't know the rest of the story here. We're not told where this man resided. But we do know a few days later he was still in the same town. Now, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier? I agree. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to, when God does something, just to pick up your stuff, go and move somewhere else where nobody else knows you? Oh, man, just a fresh start. Nobody knows me. That way I don't have to answer questions. When they say, what happened that day? I don't have to listen to that. Because, you know what? If I say it one time, I've got to say it 99 more times. I don't want to deal with that. So, you know what? It's going to be a lot easier for me if I get my stuff. Honey, get your stuff. Let's just go somewhere else. That way I can start over fresh, and I don't have to. Nobody knows me. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot easier to take off. But what if God uses you in a place where you've been raised up when people know what kind of knucklehead you are? There are no hands raised this morning. Knucklehead you are. And they're going to watch and see just how you do and just how God's going to bless you through the battle that you've been facing, and now you're on the other side of it. Let's just watch and see how good of Christian they are. So you don't have to worry about that if you go to Timbuktu. Timbuktu is far enough away from St. Simon's that you don't have to worry about that. And if you don't want to answer your cell phone, you don't have to. You may not even have a signal in Timbuktu. But I think there's a place, the moving forward, that I believe God wants his people of. What I feel like for St. Simon's Christian Renewal today is we're 30 days-ish away from a new year, is to get ready to move forward. Whatever the things are that have been holding you back, whatever the things are that has been hindering your faith in God, whatever things that have been creating fear in your life, it's time to move forward. There's a spiritual connection that God wants to put in our lives to him, and a spiritual disconnect to those things that are holding us back, that there's a new level of faith in God that I believe we're on the verge of taking. And so the move forward for this particular man in this situation wasn't that he was going to move to a new city where nobody knew him. It was that he was going to be used in his hometown as a witness for people to see of how great God is. Did you know that he used to do that and now he's doing that? That has to be God, because I know how rotten he was. Did you know that she used to do that? She used to be this way, and now she's doing this, and oh my goodness, there's no way that she could do those things. What's going on? There has to be a God. And see, our moving forward is a fulfillment of what God is doing in our life. It's the fulfillment of what God has brought us through all these things, and all the pain, and all the disappointments, and all these things. We're probably 2 years into our pastorate here. We've been here, January 1st will be 12 years. And so we're probably 2 years in. And when we came here, we came from the Brunswick Christian Church, and we were very active, very involved there, and had something almost every night of the week. And we came here, and we felt like, you know what, we've got all this energy. I mean, we were just coming in here gangbusters, dust behind us. It was Roadrunner. I mean, come on, let's get this. And so we were excited. We were gung-ho. And so we were about 2 years into it, and I felt like, God, are you keeping your side of the bargain here? We're 2 years in here, and we're doing everything every night of the week, and we're doing everything we can, and God, where are you? Why aren't we seeing the walls bust out of this place already? I mean, we've been here 2 years. What's the deal? And so God actually spoke to me during that time, and he said, Mike, I've called you to do your part. Let me do my part. You talk about a slap in the face, but he said, and I took it, I received it. I didn't become bitter at all. I said, you know what? Maybe I have been stepping on your toes. Maybe I have been doing some things that I thought you should be doing, so I was taking up the slack. He said, no, you can barely do your job. You sure can't do mine. You do yours, and let me do mine. I said, okay. But it was during that time, see, God, the devil knows exactly what's going on in your life too. And the devil will create things around you to give you some avenues to get out. And so about that same time, I've been here all my life, so if I don't know them, they probably know me in some way. So I got a phone call one day from this gentleman, and there's a church in Brunswick, and he said, "Mike, I know you've been there about 2 years. I know you're there on the island, but we're looking for a pastor. We've got this thriving church. It's growing. We've got a building program going on. We've got this thing, that thing going on. And I wanted to see if maybe you'd be interested in leaving the St. Simon's Church and coming over and being our pastor in Brunswick." And the first thought was, aha. So here's my avenue right here. I mean, that was the first thought, honestly. But then after I thought about how God made all this happen, and by the time I got home and told Crystal what he said, of course, her immediate reaction was, there's no way. Uh-uh. So, I mean, I didn't get 2 seconds into a conversation with her. But I said, well, honey, these people, you remember this family, that family's there, and this family's there? Uh-huh. No. What's for supper? But you see how the devil works sometimes. We wouldn't be here 12 years later. Maybe one day we'll write a book. There's a lot that's happened in 12 years that would not have happened these last 10 years had we jumped ship and gone there. And who knows? That probably wasn't quite as sweet as what it was pitched to be, maybe. So God has a plan for us. And we'll always see that there's a different avenue that, wow, this looks much better. That way I don't have to work to grow quite as much. This looks a little easier. You know, they've got this committee for that, that committee for that, and I can just go there and I can just do this and do that and everything will be great. You know what? Some things that are handed you on a silver platter aren't what they're cooked up to be. Some things, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And so the Lord had a plan for this man's life, but he didn't go about it in the easy way. There was some action, difficult action. And maybe we'll get to see that movie one day in heaven. We'll say, Jesus, now that we've been here 10,000 years, would you mind showing us a clip from that day so we can see what that man went through to see how great and awesome you are? Had we seen the pain and agony and the work that he went through to get to his place of walking free and being free of those things that held him back? It wasn't an easy path. It wasn't an easy path. Why can't God just make things happen like that? I don't know. But there's a work that he's trying to do in our life. There's a place that he's trying to bring us to so that we move forward free of the things that are holding us back. And many times he's wanting us to grow right where we are. Can you imagine the very first time that Crystal was disappointed with me? She said, that's it, I'm out, I'm gone. Boom. Looking back, man, that could have happened 2 or 3 times. Who's counting? I'm not counting. But you see what I'm saying? I talked to a man many, many years ago. He was a few years older than I. Had a beautiful family, had a great business, all these things. He came in, he said, Mike, I need to talk to you. Went into to the office of Brunswick and said, I need to talk to you about some things. And I said, okay. He said, I'm looking to divorce my wife. We're just not getting along. And so what's that going to do for me in business-wise? How can we work this thing out? And before I answered his question, I said, you know what? I have found that if you find a way for you both to come to a place of agreement and talk things through, you can work it out. It may not be easy, but you can work it out. And it'll be better in the long run. I said, because what's going to happen, in my experience, is that when you come to a place, now this is going to require both giving 100%. You've got to give 100%, she's got to give 100%. If that doesn't happen, then you've got an issue. But if there's a coming to a place of agreement, 100%, 100%, then you can work through anything, as difficult as it is. It doesn't matter how hard it is, you can work through it. Because if you decide to split, and say you do, say you decide to leave and you're just going to be done with it, the next relationship you get into, you're going to be here this very same day years down the road. And what are you going to do then? You're going to walk away from that, start over again? At what point do you want things to get better? There's a place that we've got to come to that we're ready to move forward. Life isn't easy and won't be till we get to heaven. But you know what? There are promises that God is going to bring to us on this earth. He's going to deliver everything that he said he would deliver. But there's something we've got to do. There's something we've got to do. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for us. Back, I guess it's been 9 years ago now, hasn't it, Miss Bunny? And 9 years ago when we had the vision of the preschool. And the first hiccup that we saw, that we had to raise money for a $35,000 sprinkler system just in case a fire catches on that part of the building. The county says you need to have a fire suppression system put in for the children. And we said, okay. All right, let's raise $35,000 to get this thing done. We could have walked away. We could have said, no, we're not going to do that. But now all these years later, we're seeing the fruition of that labor that we've put in there and all the prayers that have been answered through that. Sometimes we just have to roll up our sleeves and move forward. Get up, get your stuff. As Jordan kids with me about, she said, Dad, I'm sick. I said, I know you're sick. Get up. Sometimes we just need to get up, get our stuff, and move forward. Disconnect ourselves from those things that are in our ear. You know what? There'll always be things, there'll always be people, there'll always be discouragement in your ear. Do you know what? It will be so much easier on you if you were just to jump ship and just go and do this, do that. Oh, it'd be so much easier. And you know what? In life, we see people come and we see people go. And I can't say that it doesn't hurt. It hurts. And I have to work through it. And Jesus has to be with me and bring me to a place of healing in every single one of them. I don't like it a bit. But I can't let the decision of other people decide for me that I'm not going to go on. If God's called me to do something, then I need to be faithful in what God's called me to do. And if someone jumps ship, you know what? God's going to say, I'll send you even more to come alongside and to do my work. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. Is that it's not determined on who's with you or who's not with you. It's determined on if you're walking with God or not. It's determined on if we're going to be faithful in getting up, getting our stuff, and moving forward. And as much as it is painful in the natural side and the human side of this thing, we have to trust God in that too. We have to trust God that he's going to bring the provision for the vision. If God established it, he'll make it go. He's not going to say, oh my goodness, that happened now, everything's off. Just go ahead and close the door, turn the lights out. You know, it's a done deal. No. Can you imagine all the people that tried to take Jesus down? All the people that hated Jesus, tried to take him out? And then he's hanging on the cross, and there was just a handful of people around the hill that day. They didn't really care whether Jesus was gone or not. There was just a few. His mom was there. Brothers were there. There wasn't a whole group of people. All the accusers, all the people that said that he wasn't good enough, all the people that said that, you know what, you're not doing things the right way, all the people that took away from his miracles and said, well, you're not doing that or you're not doing this. Where were they? Jesus, he lived on anyway. Let me tell you today that Jesus is still in charge. That God is still in charge. Holy Spirit is alive and well. And we can't go by what we see today. We have to go by what we know. We have to go by the truth of God's word. It's time to move forward. It's time to put our big boy pants on and say, Lord, you know what? They can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. But as long as we're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we're walking with the power of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of him, in knowing who he is, you know what? You can make it through anything because he said he'll give you the power and the strength to do it. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say it won't be painful. But he'll cause you to do it. He will cause you, give you the power, give you the strength to do what he's told you to do. Do you believe that? He's calling us to move forward. I'm going to wrap up. I can imagine, though, people were standing around saying, you know what, that guy's up. He's acting like he's walking, but after 38 years, it can't really be true. People are sitting on the front porches thinking, Did you hear what happened to him? Just give it some time. We'll see if it lasts. We'll see if he's never been able to make it so far. It's been 38 years. You know, it's real doubtful that he'll make it. Listen, if we listen to the lies of the enemy, if we listen to the lies of those trying to tear you down, if you listen to that, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to them. Don't entertain them. Well, have you heard what so-and-so said? No, and I don't want to hear it. Right? We only need to hear one, and we need to hear the promises of God. I want to tailor my life after what he says that I'm supposed to do, not after, well, if they're saying that, then you see, how can I counter that? Then I've spent my entire life trying to counter all the gossip. There's something God wants for you to do. And I want to encourage you today not to walk away from God's blessing in your life. God's anointed you. He's given you the provision that you need. He's bringing you to a place to where it's higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He's got a great plan for you. And don't base your plans on what the enemy says. Things aren't going your way today. That's okay. That's okay. There will come a time that the God's promises will be fulfilled in your life, and you will see that the road that you're walking on had a purpose. You'll see that the pain that you've experienced will have a purpose. Will it take 38 years? I don't know. I don't know how many years it'll take. But won't it be worth it when the fruition of all this comes about and all the pain that you've experienced and all the things that you faced, won't it be worth it to say, thank you, Jesus, that you did what you said you would do? Rather than me jumping ship, rather than me 10 years ago thinking I'm going to take this route because it looks so much easier and so much together, aren't you glad that there'll be one day when you say that, you know what, I stuck with the course. As Paul said, I kept the faith. And won't you see the reward of God? Won't you see the blessing and favor of God in your life? I believe that you're going to see it. If not, then God hasn't kept his word. But he's kept his word. He's never failed. Aren't you glad? Amen. Come on, Crawford. Let's stand together this morning. John 5:9 says, and immediately,